So transport yourself, like me, back to when you're a kid. You're like 19, and some of you, some of you went to college. And I find, I find myself in Chicago. Well, I'll back up a little bit. I'm going to college in Chicago, and it's January. So right before, that's Christmas time. And I get to go to Chicago for college. And my parents are super excited because, like people in my generation, maybe I hung around the house longer than, my parents wanted me to. And so by the time I get to go to college, my parents are super excited to get me out of the house. My mother, for Christmas, gives me all these clothes, like corduroy pants and button-up shirts, you know, all these things that mothers know that young sons want to look good when they're going off to college. And the college that I went to had a really strict dress code. It was like business with no casual. And and I didn't even know the extent of it. So I got these pants and these clothes from my mother, and she said, okay, get out of the house. You're going to Chicago. And I grew up in Thousand Oaks, and I had been to Mammoth. So I knew what the weather was like. So I fly into O'Hare. It's like January 15. And, I had my coat and a shirt and, a duffel bag. And I had almost bought a snowboard because there's so much snow in Chicago that there's just going to be awesome places to go snowboarding at. And so the school I was going to, I went there because they had a really cool program, which was like a bush pilot program. So I would fly airplanes, and I love adventure, and I love travel, and so I thought, well, I could be a pilot and fly around. I was like, I really wanted to live in North Africa. It was like my goal. I was like, if I could, my vision was to be like, I had an airplane, and there was like this, faded picture from the 70s that's square, and I don't have a shirt, and I don't even own a shirt, nor do I own shoes, and I just have this airplane, you know? So I went to Chicago, and I said, well, to get there, I got to go to Chicago in this program down in Tennessee. So I go, I have 1 year in Chicago. I can sport that out. And then I go to Tennessee, and I got 3 years in Tennessee, airplane school. And I, So I get to school, and first day, it's formal. It's like Chicago's really formal. I remember even coming back on breaks from school, and, I would get called names. Like, we'd go to a bar, and I would be dressed in like a suit, kind of, like button-up shirts, like a tie, which is totally normal for casual in Chicago. And out here, like, if you have a tie, that means you are the loser in the room, right? They're like, oh, well, only the rich guys have sweatshirts, you know what I mean? So so I'm out in Chicago, and it's culturally super different than the way I was raised here in California. And a big part of that culture for me is, well, I have to get to know the other people in my program, these other aviation guys and gal. And so the first kind of like meetup we had, it was like major meetup. So I it was probably 3 weeks into school, and it's like this pizza party in Fitzwater Hall. So I go over there, and I show up, and I think I get my first glimpse as to there being a big difference between me and them. And I had seen them around campus, and I was like, oh, I can pick all you out. So I had long hair, and they had, like, nobody there had hair below the ear, you know? It was very short, very high and tight, proper. I had an old Olympics t-shirt on that was kind of faded, and they had button-up like polos tucked in to a braided belt, baggy jeans, Leatherman always, and those like loops for hammers, and boots, right? So, and I just had, I had these corduroys that I actually ended up having to chop up to fit dress code, and it just, like, really a world of difference. And so we start up the thing, and this guy, Rogers, the leader, and he goes, all right, well, gather around in a circle, and we're all going to talk about our previous aviation experience. And the program didn't say you needed to have aviation experience. So we all get in this circle, and, it's like person to person, it's like, well, what's your last flight? Like, oh, I did this transatlantic on my Cessna, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I had, like, I don't know anything about airplanes, and I just thought it would be cool to be in a foreign country, right? So they get to me, and they're like, all right, so, you know, what'd you do? And I said, well, I recently did a transcontinental, you know, on a 747 here. And they didn't think it was very funny. Like, they were all very serious. And they didn't actually invite me back to any of their meetings. But I stayed in the program long enough to go down to Tennessee, where we had this kind of check you out if you're up to snuff for being a true pilot. And so they would run you through these rigors and test your ability to adapt under pressure. And so the first adaptation for me was we all sit down, and it's this big group, and it's like this elimination kind of like reality TV show. And we have riveting class, and it's not riveting. And so it ended up being too big, and so they split the class in two, and they said, well, hey, you guy, you got to go to nuts and bolts class. And I said, oh, no problem. I know that there are nuts and bolts. And so I go to the nuts and bolts class, and it's this, like, really shallow room, and it's in Tennessee in July. And there are these two fans, like, is, you know, these big, huge fans, and there's this guy in the middle, and there's this bench, and there's like 10 of us behind this bench, and these fans are going and pointed at us, and then there's this meek man without a mic going, now the number 8 bolt goes to the, and I would raise my hand, I'd say, excuse me, I can't hear you, and he would like look at me, you know, and all the other guys in the class, like, they've been building airplanes since they were 5 years old. You know, this was like nothing to them. And so I kept raising my hand, and eventually the guy just told me, stop asking questions. And then at the end of the class, we had a test. And I failed, of course. Another part of the you know, test was we would actually go up in an airplane, and we'd fly around, and they'd do tests on us flying, you know. And so the first day we get up and we're flying over Johnson City, East Tennessee, and the co-pilot gent goes, all right, I need you to get us back to where we came from. And like, I didn't have a map, and I didn't know where we were, and I didn't know the freeways, and I didn't have anything, you know? And we had just flown for a while, and he's like, just bring us back. And I failed that too, because I wasn't paying attention apparently. The next day, we start to go up in the airplane, and you have these checklists, and they're, like, out of control, and they're stupid. That's why I'm not a pilot anymore. It's like so ticky, you know, there's one little thing, you know, and so we get up, and it's hot, and I was like, forget it. I'm not going to close the windows. That's on the checklist. Forget about it. So we get up, and we start to fly, and we get up in the air, and the guy, like, looks at me, and he goes, you didn't complete the checklist. And I said, yeah, well, I left the windows open. He goes, you've failed the test for today. And I would get so frustrated. So I was under tax, right? I had been under pressure. I was feeling outside the group. I just didn't fit. You know, it was not my tribe or what have you. And I think at this point during this time, I had kind of given up hope. I was like, you know, well, I'm not a gearhead. I kind of like the adventure or the people side of things more, so maybe this isn't for me. But I'll just give it my best, and if I make it, I'm just going to do it. Fate will take me. And so my last day, I was doing an air. It was kind of like all in, kind of you got to get on the radio and do all the things. And they just make you do it. Like, flying an airplane, you just have all the stuff you have to do all the time. It's not, you know, it's like, and you're on the radio, and you got to talk and do the turn. And so the airfield where we were at, it was down in the bottom of this basin, and there were hills all up around it, and you had to come in, like, the airfield goes like this, and you had to come in and make this bank, and then drop super fast and land this airplane. And I had done it kind of in tandem with him a couple times, and this is my time to do it alone. And so I was like high on life. I was making it. I was going. I was had the foot on each pedal, you know, steering the whatever, and I'm going... And I remember on this bank, you know, and it was like degrees. And so you spend all your time focused on these instruments. And so I'm looking at the instruments. I'm like, okay, this is banking. This is going. And then I got to get on the radio. And while I'm making this bank, I got to say, like, Tower, this is Cessna 545. And so I'm doing this thing. And I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm doing it. I'm making it. And then I just hear the co-pilot guy shriek. And then I look up from my instruments and I see like pine needles. Literally. I had banked the airplane like this. And he screams and this just goes and pulls the thing up, and I just let go, you know, and we just go, and we were like scraping tops of trees. I don't know how he let it go on that long. And so he, you know, he gets up and he is just like letting every cuss word, whatever, you idiot, you're never passing this, you know, you're gonna kill everybody. And then he takes a plane in and lands it. And I say thank you. So, needless to say, I failed. And thankfully, I'm not a pilot.